This is the first Sunday of Lent, and as we enter the season of Lent each year, we enter into a time of reflection upon the continued presence and power of evil in the world, a time in which we seek to confess our responsibility for and complicity in that evil, and a time in which we seek to return to God and God's hope for our lives. And so it is appropriate that on the first Sunday of Lent each year, we hear one of the gospel accounts of the temptation of Christ, of the way in which the personification of evil tried to subvert and corrupt the personification of love, Jesus Christ, and how Jesus then refused that evil and used that refusal such that it might help us understand how and why evil must be resisted, even when, or especially when, it is most tempting. In the temptation account from Matthew's gospel, we find that Satan is trying to get Jesus to do things that might, at least in part, sound like they would accomplish good ends. Perhaps ends or results that Jesus ultimately has been sent here to accomplish. Satan wants Jesus to turn lifeless stones into life-giving bread, to dramatically demonstrate that he is God's beloved Son, one for whom God will send a great multitude of angels to save him from harm. And he wants him to accept rule over all the kingdoms of the world. So why wouldn't Jesus accept Satan's invitation to do these things? If Jesus would just turn stones into bread, couldn't physical hunger, not only Jesus's, but all the world's, couldn't all that be wiped away? If Jesus would but dramatically demonstrate his ability to call forth the angels and all of heaven's power, would not all the earth then understand that he was God's Son and accept his authority? If Jesus would just exercise his rightful authority over the kingdoms of the world, would not wars and injustice be brought to an end? Satan appears to be inviting Jesus to live into his full potential, to exercise all of his power, to do the things that it would appear would bring about a better world. But Jesus refuses Satan's invitation, because Jesus is not primarily focused on results. Jesus' ministry is not primarily concerned with effectiveness. Instead, Jesus is primarily concerned with obedience, faithfulness to God the Father and God's plan for Jesus. Jesus had not been sent into the world to end physical hunger during his brief ministry. He had not been sent into the world to glorify himself. Jesus had not been sent into the world to establish dominion over all the political powers of the world, though each of those things might sound like good ends, like good results. They are not the purpose of Jesus' earthly life and ministry. Jesus has been sent into the world to show the world what God's love looks like, so that the world might know that there is a better way, a different way, so that the world might know, so that we might know that we are caught in the clutches of sin, that we are estranged from God, that we need to repent and be forgiven of our sins. And through all of this, Jesus is helping to bring about God's kingdom, not according to the rules of this world, not pursuant to Satan's terms, but rather Jesus is doing all of this in perfect obedience to His Father in heaven. Thus, through His rejection of Satan's terms, Jesus is teaching us that there are no shortcuts to God's kingdom. It can only be realized by faithfulness to God's will, though He certainly could have. Jesus did not feed the hungry by accepting Satan's invitation to turn stones into bread. Instead, He fed the deeper hunger of the world by turning perishable bread into the eternal, unconquered body of Christ, the bread of life. And to those who are sustained by the bread of life, to us, His church, He commanded us to go into all the world and feed both the spiritual and physical hunger of those that we met. For in serving the hungry, we have been promised that we are serving Christ Himself. And as we receive the bread of life later this morning, we must prepare ourselves to share that which we have been given. Though He certainly could have, Jesus did not offer a dramatic demonstration of His power and authority by manufacturing a situation of peril by jumping off the pinnacle of the temple so that He could call forth angels to protect Him. Instead, Jesus' faithfulness and obedience to God, to telling God's truth to the world, to confronting the sinfulness of the world and calling it to repentance, Jesus' commitment to showing the world what God's love truly looks like as He journeyed from the dusty hills of Galilee to the marble steps of the temple in Jerusalem, all of that is what put Jesus in peril. Not because He sought to create a situation of peril, but rather because God's love embodied so clearly challenged the powers of this world. And when that peril took Him to the cross, He did not call forth angels, but rather accepted suffering in obedience to His identity as God's beloved Son. Though He certainly could have, Jesus did not overcome the powers of this world by accepting Satan's invitations to take on their power, to become like the powers of this world. Jesus overcame the powers of this world by rejecting their power, by showing that their temporal power was based on a lie. And that lie, that deception, runs so deep that God's ultimate victory on the cross, God's rejection of the violence of this world, looked a lot like a defeat to the powers of this world. So, when we are discouraged by the state of the world, or the state of the church, we must remember that victory has already been achieved. That we are called to patiently resist the temptation to use the standards of this world to judge our faithfulness. This week we have started the long journey of Lent, and as we continue this journey in the weeks ahead, let us recognize that, like Jesus, we are tempted. We are every day tempted to conform to the standards of this world rather than God's hope for his creation. And thereby, Satan is daily tempting us by appealing to our deep yearning to feed our physical hunger, our paralyzing fear of suffering, and our unyielding desire for worldly power and stability. Unlike Jesus, we are often deceived. But because Jesus was not deceived, because he remained faithful to the Father, we have the opportunity every day to admit to our failures, to confess our sins, to be forgiven, and once more, fed by Christ's body and blood and filled with the Holy Spirit that has marked us in baptism, return to the wilderness of this world in his service to do the job that God has given us.